Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Top Stories. I am Andy Zaltzman. In September 2019, I gave Tom Ballard and Nato Green the important job of deciding which country had the biggest bad guy, Saudi Arabia or Iran. This is from issue 4122 of The Bugle, entitled Dastardly Things. Top story this week, the Middle East. We keep returning to the Middle East like a dog returning to its long-lost vomit over the 12 years that this show has been in existence. Tom and Nato, I've just appointed you both the Bugle Middle East correspondents.
Yes.
So, the Saudi-Iran squabble at the moment, drone strike on a Saudi oil installation, a dispute over who is responsible. How much have you enjoyed this, Tom, as a neutral, Middle East neutral?
Very neutral. I describe it more as a row or a bitch fest. All right, two major Saudi oil installations were attacked by missiles and drones. Saudi Arabia is like, it was Iran. And the US agrees it was Iran. And Iran was like, no, it was the Houthi rebels in Yemen. And the Houthi rebels are like, yeah, it was totally us. And then one guy from Saudi Arabia was like, well, I guess it could have been the Houthi rebels. And the rest of the Saudis were like, no, Iran. And the US was like, damn fucking right it was Iran. And now Iran has to lip sync for its life. And I'm like, girl, you ain't that fishy. You better watch yourself and stop acting like you're the biggest bitch in the Gulf, okay? I've been watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, so that might have influenced my coverage. But this does seem to be more squabble, more talk of war, which we're all about here at the Bugle, Andy. We're always banging the drum. There's been mounting pressure on Trump to take some military action against Iran, not just sanctions. He's being frightfully coy, saying there's plenty of time to do some dastardly things. It's very easy to start, and we'll see what... Dastardly things! Okay, thanks, President Riddler from 1960s Batman. Thank you for the vague heads up. Ooh, I just can't wait to see what japes and drone strikes you get up to. I'm sure that whatever it is, it will be ever so delicious.
That's a glorious... Nato, did you know that your president had the word dastardly in his linguistic golf bag?
I think probably he has very short-term memory, so somebody must have said it literally 2 seconds before he said it, and then that was like the last thing he heard. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, Trump, this is going to be a challenging diplomatic situation for him because, as you know, Trump is famously racist, and prior to this, was not aware that Saudi Arabia and Iran were different things. Just thought it was like a lot of brown people, and that was all he had to do. He wanted to bomb, probably, and that was all he needed to know. So he's going to have to really get into the weeds on it.
Obviously, you know, from an objective point of view, it's not ideal to see Saudi Arabia and Iran politically prodding each other in the chest like two drunken men on different stag do's at the same nightclub, realizing they're both engaged to the same woman. And As you said, yeah, I mean, was it the Houthis? Was it Iran? Was it surprise package Ecuador?
Ooh!
I mean, they've not been mentioned. You know, it's often, you know, strange. Leicester City won the Premier League. Who knows? Maybe it was Ecuador that bombed that oil installation. Was it a prank by the TV show Impractical Jokers? Was it maybe Elon Musk attempting to accelerate space travel by provoking another world war? It sure as f*** worked last time. I think on my list of things that I wanted to see this year, it did not include Saudi Arabia and Iran squabbling over a strike on a Saudi oil plant.
It did not.
Oh. England winning the Cricket World Cup, that was on there.
Okay.
Britain having an aubergine as Prime Minister, that was on there. It has not yet happened, but I am still hoping.
Okay.
But a spiral of provocation and recrimination in the Middle East, not on my list.
Well, apparently Trump discussed the Iran situation on the phone with your Prime Minister, with Boris Johnson, and the two agreed on the need for a united diplomatic response. And I tell you what, Andy, if there's one thing Donald Trump and Boris Johnson are good at, it is making things united. If you want things like responses or democracies to really stay united, really stick together like Velcro covered in glue, get Donnie and Boris on the case. Clock wiped to number 10 in the White House, simultaneously releasing conflicting diplomatic responses, one of them encouraging Saudi Arabia to sexually molest Iran, and the other demanding that Islamistan apologise for the war on Christmas. It's coming. I think we should just embrace the fact that a war on Iran is coming. Let's lean into it, Andy. Yep. It's been ages since we've had a good war, apart from the million culture wars that occupy every single second of every single day. I'm talking about a proper war. I haven't seen someone pull down a statue in f***ing ages, and quite frankly, I'm f***ing sick of it. Quite frankly, Andy, if someone doesn't torture a brown person in a far-off land in my name for no good reason whatsoever, pretty bloody soon, Andy, I'm going to feel ashamed to be a red-blooded member of the Western world. Let's go over there and accomplish the f*** out of that mission, baby!
Sorry, but that's all right. I mean, you're very much a pin-up boy for the alt-right these days, Tom.
Andy, are you going to sit there and let Tom call Boris Johnson your Prime Minister?
He's not mine!
Well, I mean, to be honest, you know, he's all of our prime. He belongs to the world, Boris Johnson. He is a metaphor for the dangers of letting your democracy rot from the inside. Mike Pompeo jabbed the finger of blame very firmly into the eyeballs of Tehran, saying this was an Iranian attack. It's not the case that you can subcontract out the devastation of 5% of the world's global energy supply and think you can absolve yourself of responsibilities. 5% in one oil. Does that not seem like a f*** of a lot for one?
That's a lot.
Oil for, I mean, has anyone thought of maybe trying to just spread that out a bit more, not leaving so much of the world's energy supplies tied up in one facility owned and run by a theocratic dictatorship? I'm no expert on the global oil industry, but that
what are we
going
to do, Andy? Name one alternative energy source to me other than oil. Right. You know what I mean? It's not like it's just flinging around the air or beamed to us directly from a giant gas, like, you know, nearby every single day.
I mean, could you just incinerate stray kittens?
No,
would that work? No,
we need to burn the old dinosaurs.
Right.
I've always said that. That's my catchphrase. I believe a member of the Saudi Arabian government described the attack as their 9/11, which, to be, it could be argued the original 9/11 was theirs as well, and they really are having two bites of the apple there.
So, I mean, who do we believe on this? Do you believe Saudi Arabia? Do you believe Iran? Do you believe Donald Trump? I mean, it's like deciding whether to share a remote Airbnb with Hannibal Lecter, Freddy Krueger, or Donald Trump.
Hey!
It's not an easy choice. Also, in the Middle East, the aftermath of the latest Israeli election is rumbling on. Still unclear who will be Prime Minister. Benjamin Netanyahu, the reigning champion, or opposition leader Benny Gantz, who I think had some hits in the 1950s with his big band. I forget. Netanyahu is attempting to forge pacts with religious politicians and far-right ultra-nationalists. I mean, that's, in terms of reassuring phrases you could hear at this difficult time, that is, again, that's low on the list. As the Beatles sang, all you need is love and religious fundamentalists and right-wing nationalists holding the balance of political power in Israel. He's, of course, Netanyahu's still batting off corruption scandals like wasps at a picnic. Quick bit of advice for Netanyahu. Don't just try to bat off the wasps. Try to stop smearing yourself head to toe in honey and maple syrup.
Israel had a choice between two fantastic leaders. They had a choice between the right-wing racist who has several corruption charges against him and the slightly less right-wing but still pretty right-wing racist who has several war crime allegations against him. They were so similar they couldn't be bothered coming up with more distinct names. You have a choice between Benjamin or Bennies. Such freedom to choose. I'm as free as a Palestinian living in Gaza. Whee! Oh, look, it's tough.
God promised it to us, Tom. It's all there in black and white.
It was a pretty wild campaign. At one point, Netanyahu promised to annex large sections of the West Bank if he was returned as Prime Minister. And Benny Gantz, the opposition leader, responded to that, not by saying the classic attack line, hey, that's illegal and bad, but rather opting for the alternative classic, stop copying me. The two major parties in the Israeli election genuinely argued over, not over the merits of the idea of illegally expanding the state of Israel into the West Bank, but over who came up with that idea. I look forward to Prime Minister Gantz's taking a tougher stance against Palestinian protesters. Stop hitting yourselves. Stop hitting yourselves. Stop hitting yourselves.
All right.
Tough crowd. I don't know. Cut it out. It's tough out there.
Well, I'll tell you whose idea it was in the first place. God! It was God's idea. If you've enjoyed what you've heard on Top Stories, or indeed any other issue of The Bugle, do come to see our live show. Tickets on sale for The Bugle Live Tour, which takes place through March across the UK, at thebuglepodcast.com.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.